The Hindenburg disaster of 1937 devastated spectators and people listening on the radio. This is the same year the hero of our story was born. Although nowhere near the same magnitude, the city of Houston was devastated when the Oilers left for Tennessee. In this episode, we're going to talk about the life of the man that helped bring the NFL back to Houston, and it all revolved around energy.
Welcome to the Football History Dude Podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. Your host is Arnie Chapman. Football is his passion, and he wants you to come along with him to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board his DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour. Great Scott.
This time as we step off our DeLorean, the date is January 1st, 1937, and we are in Tampa, Florida. Yes, that's right. New Year's Day, 1937 in Tampa, Florida. This happens to be the birthplace of our hero. Our hero is the late Dr. Robert Carey McNair, the founder, owner, and CEO of the Houston Texans. Now, he was the only owner that the Texans ever knew. Now, with the last episode, we talked about how we were going to discuss the longest tenured professional football team in the NFL, which we know is not the Houston Texans. So, unfortunately, we had to slip this in because another one of the NFL owners passed away in the year 2018. So we're talking about Robert, most people know him as Bob McNair, the owner, the founder, the CEO of the Houston Texans. Mr. McNair may have been born in Tampa, Florida, but he grew up in Forest City, North Carolina, which is just like a tiny little town. And at the time, he loved playing sports. He was a three-sport star. In fact, he was actually offered a professional contract out of high school by the Chicago Cubs, but he turned it down because he wanted to attend USC on his academic scholarship. While at USC, he ended up playing basketball on the team as a freshman, but he said that he didn't really need to play more because he knew he wasn't going to get into the professional ranks as a professional basketball athlete or anything like that. So he would focus on his academics. And focusing on his academics, he initially went into USC as a civil engineer, trying to get that degree. However, he would switch to a liberal arts degree. In fact, he would get his bachelor's in psychology. Then after college, he would go and work at an automobile leasing shop, which didn't really meet, match his psychology degree, but hey, you gotta get some work. But this auto leasing shop that he worked for would go under. And he was just kind of like, looking around for something and trying to figure out what he'd do. He decided to move to Houston. So this is his adopted home, not his initial home. But it would end up becoming the home that he would know for a long time, and he would have a huge impact. In Houston, he started his own leasing shop, selling automobile lease and some equipment down the road. But that's not what made him become the billionaire that he was to be able to purchase and own the Houston Texans. In 1984, he founded CoGen Technologies, which would end up becoming the largest privately owned cogeneration company with an aggregate capacity of 1,400 megawatts. Yes, that would cover the 1.21 gigawatts that we needed to get back to the future, just like Dr. Emmett Brown did. However, he would end up selling the company to Enron in 1999 for $1.5 billion. And he still owned some of the power plants in New York and Western Virginia. But in 2017, he no longer owned New York, and then 2018, no longer owned the one in West Virginia. He also was the senior chairman of McNair Interests and owned Palmetto Partners Limited and RCM Financial Services, then was inducted to the 1997 Texas Business Hall of Fame and 2010 to the Houston Hall of Fame. But we're here for football. His love of football had gone on for a while. I heard an interesting piece of information on ESPN where they said that he actually was a longtime ticket holder. He loved football. Back in 1960, he actually owned season tickets to the Houston Oilers. Now let's hop back on that DeLorean and go to October 5th, 1999. This is the day where they voted to approve McNair's bid to bring the NFL back to Houston. At the time, it was a 29-0 vote, yes, by the owners, which would ultimately bring football back to Houston in 2002. But it's not as easy as what that 29-0 vote made it out to be. You see, going back in 1998, this is when McNair decided he was going to really make that push, because he wanted to bring an NFL franchise back to Houston, because he believed that the citizens of the city deserved it. So he formed the Houston NFL Holdings in 1998 to compete with Los Angeles at the time. I mean, it was still a long shot, there was a real estate Ed Roski and a Hollywood super agent Mike Lovitz that had two separate bids for Los Angeles to be able to bring the newest NFL franchise to LA. So this process, it drug on for 2.5 years. And initially, it actually sounded like LA won the vote. They couldn't raise the funds, though, for a stadium agreement, which kind of put the ball, the play, back into McNair's hands. So this is where that 29-0 vote comes into play. He developed relationships with Paul Tagliabue, you know, the commissioner at the time, with other owners, and even government helped him out. But what really put it over the top was he offered $700 million of his own money. Now, this was a record amount at the time to purchase a team. He also would end up raising over $100 million of private funds to help pay for a new stadium. The stadium that he would help pay for was over $400 million to build. And at the time, this was a state-of-the-art place to have a football game, but to have some other events. For instance, the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, they would put up some money as well because they would share, which they still do, the stadium, then help build it. So as stated, officially, this bid was accepted on October 5th in 1999 to be the 32nd team, which was the last one, part of the NFL family. The first thing he had to do, he had to get a GM. He would hire Charlie Casserly, who many of us know him. He had a lot of success previously with the Washington Redskins, to become the first GM of the Houston Texans. Something that Casserly said in an interview was he discussed how at the beginning, he looked at the practice facility, and he's like, man, that's just not going to fly, dude. So together, Casserly and Bob McNair would end up building the first indoor practice facility in Texas. And there's a quote that came from Bob McNair at the beginning of his ownership, and it went as such. I love Houston, and this is a great community and has been very good to my wife and me and our family. The way we present our team and the way we play will have a lot to do with the type of support we have. Make it one of our traditions that we have a strong work ethic that we never quit, that we're not complainers and whiners, that we play by the rules and we win playing by the rules. My father said your words are your bond. Another thing that he always told me is you can't go wrong by doing what's right. So when you reach out at a difficult decision, instead of worrying about the implications of it, you just do what you think is right, and you're not going to go wrong. So like I said, starting it off right, he hired Charlie Casserly on January 9th, 2000, as his first general manager. Then their first game would be the Lone Star State Showdown. On September 8th, 2002, in Houston, the first game would be against the Dallas Cowboys. Now Jerry Jones helped Bob McNair, and now they would play each other. The first ever player that they drafted, well, not included the initial expansion draft, was Fresno State quarterback David Carr. And this was the quarterback who would throw the first touchdown ever for the Houston Texans. That touchdown would be a 19-yard pass to tight end Billy Miller, which, curiously enough, the Texans would end up winning this game 19-10. So the yardage on that pass for the first touchdown in Houston Texan history would also be the score that they had in their first ever game. Now, this happened to also be the first time that an expansion team won their first game since 1961, when the Minnesota Vikings defeated the Chicago Bears. Now, unfortunately, they have not made the Super Bowl yet, but he was able to bring two Super Bowls to the city during his ownership. So this is a short time frame. Super Bowl 38 and 51 were at the Texans Stadium, and to honor McNair, the team will be wearing the RCM decals on their helmet for his initials. His son, Cal McNair, really had more responsibility since 2014 when Bob McNair announced his medical condition. He's currently the chief operating officer, which he's expected to remain highly involved. And here's what Roger Goodell had to say about him shortly after his death. His leadership and determination brought the NFL back to Houston, built a magnificent stadium that hosted two Super Bowls, and his beloved Texans are in the midst of another successful season and are again contending for a place in the postseason. Now, with that being said, I recognize that he was embroiled in controversy in recent years for a couple different things, but I'm focusing on the positive contributions that he made to the NFL in this podcast. But I will include some links for further research in the show notes if you'd like to check it out, which, by the way, you can get to the show notes through your podcast player or head to thefootballhistorydude.com. Also, if you enjoy the show, I would like to ask you to subscribe for free to this show by mashing that little subscribe button on your podcast player choice. That way you get the hottest, freshest off the press episodes each and every week. But besides football, I mean, he was a big influence in the NFL. he was also a big influence in the city. As far as the NFL goes, he was also the chairman of the NFL Finance Committee, a member of the Audit, the Compensation, and Chairman's Committees. Beyond that, he was incredibly philanthropic. He had a lot of pull. So, unfortunately, this is another owner that passes away, and we have to try to decipher what's going to happen and what's the future of the NFL look like. But former President George H.W. Bush, he had a quote near the beginning of his ownership that kind of summed up what he thought would be the direction that he thought Bob McNair could help take the NFL in, and it went as such. I think if all the owners were as good as Bob McNair, the NFL would be even better. He is a class guy. He runs a wonderful organization, and he brought a great stadium to the Houston environment. Then this quote came from the former president after his death, and it went as such. Bob McNair wasn't just the brightest point of light in Houston. He was one of the kindest and most generous people anywhere. Nobody cared or helped people more, and that's just one of the reasons why I always will be proud Bob was my good friend. He was simply the best. My most sincere condolences and family love go to Janice and her wonderful family. Now, Bob McNair, the day after Thanksgiving, November 23rd, 2018, passed away. He had been fighting leukemia and squamous cell carcinoma for many years. And I'm recording this before the game on Monday night, but fittingly, the Texans game, after he passed away, will be against the Tennessee Titans on Monday night. This was the team that left Houston, so there's gonna be a lot of heart and passion in that stadium on Monday night, which by the time you listen to this, actually be past it and you'll know the outcome of the score. But with that being said, Bob McNair was a kind-hearted individual that cared about people. A quote from Jerry Jones describes his thought pattern during Hurricane Harvey, and it goes as such. Bob was absolutely a hero when we had our preseason game. And boy, all the players wanted to go home, which they should, and it was natural. But Bob McNair says, I don't care what it costs, because the owner is responsible. The team that doesn't cause the game to happen is responsible for all that money that might be lost for not having to play the game. And Bob says, I don't care what it costs, I'll pay it. My players want to go home, and I want them to go home to Houston. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Football History Dude, and were able to gain some knowledge nuggets of one of the most influential owners in the current NFL. Next week, we get back to the original episode we're going to discuss and learn about the longest operating franchise in professional football. And again, I think you might be surprised. But for now, dudes, I'm through if you're through.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Football History Dude. To make sure you're the first to get the next episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice and head on over to thefootballhistorydude.com for the show notes and more information on the history of the NFL. And remember, dudes, where we're going, we don't need roads.